So, today
What?
is Tuesday, June 8th, the 28th of Sivan, and we are done with Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet, and the first two prakim of Malachim Aleph, and we are going to specifically talk about David HaMelech and the Beis HaMikdash, because we associate David with the Beis Mikdash, even though he had already passed away before it was built, and King Solomon, Shlomo, his son, built it. So let's see what his role was according to this. So this first source that I included is a continuation of last week when we talked about how the day Shlomo HaMelech married the daughter of Paro was the day that the destructions for both of the Batei HaMikdash was decreed, and the disastrous for the future of the Jewish people of that day. So now we're going to see what actually happened on that day that we had touched on a little bit in one of the sources, and this one goes more in depth. So this is from Bamidbar Rava. He's quoting a pasuk from Mishlei, Lamed Aleph, which, if we were to read all of Mishlei Lamed Aleph, would sound very familiar to all of you. It is where Eshet Chayil comes from. So let's just look at the beginning of it. So Divrei Lemuel Melech Masa Asher Yisratu Imo. So the king of Lemuel, the words of Lemuel, king of Massah, which we're going to see is translated differently. It's Massah, actually might go with, we'll talk about that. Okay, Asher Yisratu Imo is with which his mother admonished him. So this is this poor king named Lemuel. This is written by Shlomo HaMelech, Mishlei, and we're going to see why Lemuel might be the name Shlomo. And his mother's yelling at him. Ma bari u ma bar bitni. No, my son, no, O son of my womb, ume bar nidarai. No, O son of my vows. Al titen lanashim chaylecha. Don't give your strength to women. Udrachecha limchot malachin. Your vigor to those who destroy kings. Al lamalachim lamo'el. Al lamalachim shtuyain. Uleroznim sheker. Wine is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink, nor any strong drink for princes. Pen yishtav yishkach michukak din kol b'nei oni. Lest they drink and forget what has been ordained and infringe on the rights of the poor. So that's how it begins. So here's the Midrash. Divrei Lemuel Melech. So the words of the king Lemuel. Lama nikra Shlomo Lemuel. Why is Shlomo called Lemuel? There are a bunch of different sources that address this, and some of them see it in a positive light, but this does not see it in a positive light. Amar Rabbi Yishmael said, Be'oto halayla, on that very night, Shehishlim Shlomo Melechet Beit HaMikdash, that Shlomo completed the work of the temple, Nasa Batya Bat Paro, he also married the daughter of Paro. And here, notice, she is called Batya or Bitya, which we normally associate, according to the Midrash, with the daughter of the original Paro in Mitzrayim, that she was named Batya, or it says Bitya, actually. It's in Divrei Hayamim in Chronicles, chapter 4, I think. And the reason is because the Midrash says that God said to her, you have taken my child, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, and treated him as your own, even though he wasn't. So to you, daughter of Paro, I'll rename you Batka, daughter of God, even though you're not one of the chosen people, you are like my daughter. So, but here we're associating her with the daughter of this Paro that Shlomo marries. There was this Kabbalistic source that I didn't include. It was in some Hasidish thing. It was too complex, saying that she's actually the reincarnation of the daughter of Paro, and Shlomo thought he was making some sort of tikkun, and it didn't work out. Very confusing, but just so you know, it's all interrelated. So there were two joyous occasions, the joy of the and of the happiness of the temple and the joy of the daughter Paro. And the joy of the daughter of Paro was greater than the joy of the Beit HaMikdash. This is a saying of the people that everyone flatters the king. Lechach nikra Lemuel, and that's why he's called Lemuel. Shehishlich ol machut shamayim me'alai, because he threw off the yoke of the kingship of heaven from upon him. Klomar Lama lo el, as if to say, what's the purpose of him having a god? So this is pretty damning of Shlomo HaMelech and his marriage of Bat Paro and what it caused in him. And at that very moment, it went up in the thought of Hashem, Lahachriv et Yerushalayim, to destroy Yerushalayim. And this is a pasuk we saw last week from Yirmiyahu, Ki ala piva chamati, my anger and my anger, wrath. Rabbanan Amre Elef Mine Zamer Hiknisa Lo Bat Paro. So the rabbis teach us that Bat Paro brought in 1,000 different songs. V'haya Mitzavel Lezamer Lefanav, and it was commanded to sing before him the Otoy Laila on that very night. V'ayta Omeret Lo, and she would say to him, Kach Mizamrim Lifnei Avodat Kochavim Ploni, V'kach Mizamrim Lifnei Avodat Kochavim Ploni. So she was singing to him all of these idolatrous songs that they would sing to their gods. Ma'asta Bat Paro, what did she do? Kimin Pras Shatchalo Lamala Mimanu. She spread out this canopy over his bed, and she became abel kol minei avanim tovot umargaliot, and she put all sorts of precious stones and pearls that she sewed into this canopy. Shayum afikot ka'ein kochavim umazalot, that would sparkle like the stars in the sky and the constellations. Because man shaya Shlomo rotzel le'amod, anytime Shlomo wanted to get up, haya ro'e otan kochavim ve'umazalot v'haya yashan lo ad arba sha'ot. He would see these stones on his canopy and think it was still night, and it hadn't. And he would sleep another 4 hours. Amar Rabbi Levi, Oto Hayom Nitzkarev Tamid ba'arba sha'ot. On that very day, they didn't bring the Tamid, which is the special morning korban that set the whole day in motion for the Kohanim and the whole temple sacrifice day. They didn't bring it until 4 hours into the daytime. The only other time that I found that this happened was during the time of the Greeks' occupation of the Beis HaMikdash. This is also, as Rosh Chodesh is tomorrow, I think, for Tammuz. One of the sad things that happened, I could be wrong, it's either the 10th of Tevet or the 17th of Tammuz. One of the sad things that happens is the end of this Tamid Korban, because it meant the end of the rituals of the Beis HaMikdash. So they brought it very late at the 4th hour of the morning. So it was brought, this morning sacrifice was brought very late in the morning. So this was before it was even brought. Shlomo is still sleeping, and Yisrael was very sad. It was the day of the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, and they weren't able to do the Tamid, like set the whole day in motion, because Shlomo was sleeping. And another midrash says that he had the keys under his pillow. And they were afraid to wake him up, mipnei ema tamachut, because of their fear of the kingship. So they went and they informed Bat Sheva, Imo, his mother. She went and she woke him up and she rebuked him, hence our opening psukim before Eshet Chayil. And one of the opinions is that Shlomo wrote Eshet Chayil in honor of his mother. So this is what's mentioned, what his mother rebuked him. Amar b'Yochanan melamed shekfafato imo al ha'amud ve'amralo, that she woke him up and she said to him, Ma bari hakol yodin shavicha yirei shamayim. What is it with you, son? Everyone knew that your father feared heaven. Yirei shamayim haya. He was a fear of heaven. Achshav yomru kein bat sheva hi imo garmalo. Now they're going to say, because your father passed away, that your degradation, your downgrade, the fact that you overslept is all because of me, Bat Sheva, his mother. So that's how she woke him up. And that's what these opening lines of Perek Lamed Aleph could be referring to. And Rashi here explains in Mishle a prophecy that his mother chastised him. So this is the other definition of this word, Masa. So not as the king of Masa, but rather a meaning prophecy. When he married the daughter Paro on the day of the dedication of the temple, she brought in for him many kinds of musical instruments, and he was awake all night and slept on the next day until 4 hours after dawn. as is related in Psikta, which they didn't find in the Psikta, but they found in our Midrash that I just read to you. And the keys of the temple were under his head. Regarding that time, we learned concerning the daily morning burnt offering that it was offered up at the conclusion of 4 hours. Then his mother entered and chastised him with all this prophecy. Okay, and this is what she said. What, my son, what is it that you have done and told everybody that you are my son and did not tell them that you are the son of your father? Everybody knows that your father was completely righteous, and if you are wicked, they will say his mother made him that way. Okay, so now we're going to very quickly go through this. These are all psukim, this one that we've seen already. So this is where David orders, he arranges for the Beis Mikdash. So you can see that he is doing all of the heavy organizational preparation work for building, so that when Shlomo would take over, he would have everything in place to just begin the building. So he said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar for burnt offerings of Israel. This is in Divrei Hayamim. So he orders the stone and the hewers and prepared the iron and the nails and the cedar trees. And he says, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house to be built for him must be magnified on high for fame and for glory to all lands. I shall therefore now make preparations for him. And David prepared in abundance before his death. So this is what he dedicated the last few months of his life to. And then he gives a decree to Shlomo. And he called Solomon his son and commanded him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my heart to build a house in the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord was upon me, saying, you have shed much blood and you have waged great wars. You shall not build a house in my name, because you have shed much blood to the ground before me. So this looks very disturbing. And we saw this before, but we're going to see it from a slightly different angle. It seems that because David shed blood, even though it was in the name of Hashem and for wars on behalf of Hashem, it seems like that's why he's not able to build the Beis HaMikdash. But we just kind of saw the blood that Shlomo caused to be shed. So what's the difference, and why with David? So we're going to see some different perspectives of that going forward. But then it says, behold, a son will be born to you. He will be a man of peace, Shlomo, Shalom. And I shall give him peace from all his enemies around about, for Shlomo will be his name, and I shall give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house my name, and he shall be to me as a son, and I to him as a father. And I shall prepare the throne of his kingdom forever. So that's the message David got from Hashem through the prophet, and now he's addressing Shlomo directly. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and you shall prosper, and you shall build the house of the Lord your God as he spoke to you. But may the Lord give you intelligence and understanding, seichel and bina, and may he command you over Israel and to keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you observe to perform the statutes and the judgments that the Lord commanded Moses over Israel. Be strong and of good courage. This is, of course, Chazak ve'amatz, what Moshe says to Yehoshua also. It's like a way to transfer leadership. And it's what we say at the end of each Chumash, Chazak, Chazak, ve'nit, Chazek. Similar, not exact. Do not fear and be not dismayed. So this sounds a little bit like Sefer Shmuel, the end, when he was telling him to keep all of the mitzvot and the chukim and the mishpatim. So it's similar to that. But these last words to Shlomo are not the same in the sense of telling him to go out and kill or take care of certain people. So, behold, in my poverty, I prepared for the house of the Lord 100, and he goes on, all the gold and silver and copper and iron and wood and the workmen, everything that he prepared for Shlomo. And he commands them to build the house in the name of the Lord. So this is David's last words to Shlomo, according to Divrei Hayamim, which is much more what we would expect from what we know of David to be his last will and testament to Shlomo about the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that he has prepared everything in his power to prepare for it, as opposed to what we read in Shmuel, which was much more about taking care of business in a figurative sense. Okay, so now, after he addresses his son personally, then he says to the entire assembly. So that was chapter 22. And it goes into more details about all the things he prepared for the Beis HaMikdash. And then chapter 29 is when he addresses the entire assembly, so all the Jewish people, which could have been on the day that all the Jewish people are gathered, Hakel, which is a mitzvah, to gather all the Jewish people around the king, and he reads from the Torah, so this could have been that day. So he said, "My son Solomon, whom God alone has chosen, is young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my strength I prepared." So again, he tells how he prepared, and then it talks about all the donations, and he talks about his sincerity, and, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our forefathers, keep this forever, even the creation of the thoughts of the hearts of the people, and prepare their hearts for you. And to Solomon, my son, give a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, your statutes, and to do all and to build the palace that I have prepared." And David said to the entire assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." And the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and they kneeled and prostrated themselves before the Lord and before the king. And then there is a very public coronation of Shlomo as the king. And then it's the end of David. "And David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the days that he reigned over Israel were 40 years. In Hebron he remained 7 years, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33. And he died in a good old age, full of days, wealth, and honor, and his son Solomon reigned in his stead. And the words of King David, the first and last, behold, they are written in the words of Samuel the seer, and the words of Nathan the prophet, and in the words of God the seer." So referring to what we had already learned, for the rest of his words, "with all his kingdom and his might, and the times that passed over him and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the lands." So this sounds a lot more appropriate as befitting a king like David HaMelech, in terms of the end of his life and how he left both Shlomo HaMelech and how he left the Jewish people, with these very reassuring words, chizik, giving strength, having prepared for the Beis HaMikdash. But as we've discussed before, we have to think about the agenda of each of the books that had different authors. So the agenda of Divrei Hayamim is all about building the second temple and figuring out how not to let what happened to the first temple happen to the second temple. So that's the agenda, and you can see how this would be a very appropriate way to recount this as they're in the process of building and fortifying the second temple. Whereas for the Sefer Shmuel, the agenda is to set Shmuel's kingship on the right path and to see how it was established and how it achieved that, and that would be then appropriate to talk about all these taking care of different people in David's life. But I think it's much more apropos for us to have these be in our ears as the last words of David. Okay, so now we're going to look at more David's involvement with the Beis HaMikdash. So this is the Gemara from Shabbos. So we've seen parts of this before when we learned about Bathsheba. So David said before the Holy One, "Blessed be he, master of the universe, forgive me for that sin in the matter of Bathsheba." He said to him, "It is forgiven you." David said to him, "Show me a sign in my lifetime so that all will know that you have forgiven me." Because as we saw throughout Sefer Shmuel after Bathsheba, that there, especially with Shimi ben Gera, that we spoke about in the last few weeks, there was still a lot of animosity towards David about the Bathsheba affair. It was never really clear if he was forgiven. God said to him, "In your lifetime, I will not make it known that you were forgiven." And we saw that. "However, in the lifetime of your son Solomon, I will make it known. When Solomon built the temple and sought to bring the ark into the Holy of Holies, the gates clung together and could not be opened. Solomon uttered 24 songs of praise, as in his prayer there are 24 expressions of prayer in that's from what we're not going to get to in Malachi. And his prayer was not answered. He began and said, 'Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be you lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in.' Immediately the gates ran after him to swallow him, as they thought that in the words 'King of Glory,' he was referring to himself. And they said to him, 'Who is the King of Glory?' And he said to them, 'The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.'" Some of you may know this. When do we say it? Here, I'll show it to you. Can you see my screen still? So it should look familiar to you. LeDavid Mizmor LaShem Aretzim Lo Tevel V'Yoshveva Kihu. So this is Miza Melech HaKavod. Who is this King of Glory? Hashem Yizuz V'Gibor. Hashem Gibor Mechama. Is this what we say when we bring the Torah back on a weekday? Chaim?
Yes. Yes. Not only do we say it when we put the Torah away, but we also say it as part of Pesukei Dezimra.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so it's a very familiar phrase, and here is the Midrashic interpretation that there was some confusion as to who Shlomo met when he said King of Glory, whether it was himself or God. And so you see in that next time you say it, next time you're in Shul, you're saying Pesukei Dezimra, can pay more attention and understand the backstory here. So
this is also said during Yamim Noraim.
I think so, yeah. So the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, and he said again, lift up your heads, O you gates, ye lift them up, you everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who then is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory, Selah. And that question is asked twice in this chapter of Tehillim, and now we can understand why it needs to be clarified who exactly it is. And he was not answered. When he said, O Lord God, turn not away the face of your anointed, remember the good deeds of David your servant, he was immediately answered. So it wasn't until he referenced David HaMelech that the gates, and we're going to see a source that's actually talking about the gates of the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh Kodeshim, that they were opened up willingly for Shlomo HaMelech only when he referenced his father. He was immediately answered, and a fire descended from heaven. At that moment, the faces of all of David's enemies turned dark like the charred bottom of a pot. And all of Israel knew that the Holy One, blessed be He, forgave him for that sin. So it wasn't in his lifetime, but it was in the lifetime of his son. And if so, it is not appropriate what Shlomo said, and I praise the dead that are already dead. David more than the living, Shlomo, to whose request to open the gates of the temple did not respond, God did not respond. And that is what is written. On the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went into their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had shown unto David, his servant, and to Israel, his people. The Gemara explains, and went unto their tents, in accordance with the common expression, one's house is his wife. It is explained that when they returned home, they found their wives ritually pure, tahorot, from the ritual impurity of menstruation. Joyful means that they enjoyed the aura of the divine presence at the dedication of the temple, and glad of hearts means that the wife of each and every one of them was impregnated and gave birth to a male. The verse continues, for all the goodness that the Lord had shown unto David his servant and to Israel's people. Unto David his servant means that at that opportunity they all saw that God forgave him for that sin. And to Israel his people means that he forgave them for the sin of Yom Kippur, as they did not fast that year. This is really interesting because it doesn't explicitly say it, but when Shlomo dedicated the Beis Hamikdash, it was Sukkot, and it says that there was a week of feasting before, and so it was like 2 weeks leading up to this dedication, and the 2 weeks, of course, would include Yom Kippur, which it would have been impossible to fast that year because they were so involved in the Chanukah Tabayit, the dedication of the temple. Okay, so we have a couple prakim of Tehillim that also reference David and his work with the Beis Hamikdash according to the Mefarshim. So this is Kuf Lamed Bet, 132. Shir Hamalot Zechor Hashem LeDavid Et Kol Unoto, a song of Hasan, remember, Lord, unto David all his affliction, Asher Nishba LaHashem Nadar LeAvir Yaakov, that he swore to the Lord, he vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, Im avo be'ohel beiti, im ele al eres yitzui, that I shall not come into the tent of my house, and I shall not go up on the bed that was spread for me, im eten shnat le'enai la'afapai tnuma, I shall not give sleep to my eyes nor slumber to my pupils, ad emtza makom la'ashem mishkanot la'avir Yaakov, until I find a place for the Lord, dwellings for the Mighty One of Jacob. So if you remember, so this is saying that David devoted a tremendous amount of his life to finding the place where the Beis Hamikdash would be built. And if you remember, he didn't find it until that horrible plague went into Jerusalem, and then where the plague stopped, that was this Arnona or Arvana, remember different names, and his threshing floor that David bought from him, and that was the place, and he knew because of the hand of God literally in this plague. So here's what the Radak has to say. Amar David Zeh Mizmor B'Sha'asha Bana HaMizbeach B'Goren Aravna. So David said this chapter of Tehillim at the time when he built the altar on the threshing floor of Aravna, Hayavisi, the Jebusite, Al Pi Gad Hanavi, by word of God the prophet. V'hale alav olot v'shlamim, and he brought many sacrifices on it. V'kara el Hashem, and he called to God. V'anehu be'esh min ha-shamayim, and God answered him with fire from heaven, al mizbeach ha'ola, on the altar. V'amar, and it says in Divrei Hayamim, Zehu Beit Hashem Elokim v'zeh mizbeach la'ola. That's what we read before when David was about to address Shlomo on his role. This is the house of God, and this is the altar of the offerings to Israel. Ve'ad oto hayom lo noda makom Beit HaMikdash. And until that very moment, David didn't know where the Beit HaMikdash was. Ve'kvar amar lo Natan HaNavi ki hu lo yivne habayit. And Natan, the prophet, had already told him that he would not be the one to build it. Ki im Shlomo bano, it would be his son Shlomo. Ve'lefi she'sam David kocho v'yichol ato l'achin binyan habayit. But since David placed all of his strength and his ability to prepare the building of the house, he was answered in the chosen place. He asked from Hashem, Ve'amar, Zachor Hashem la David et kol anoto. Remember Hashem to David all of his poverty. Kivan shelo zachiti livnoto, since I did not merit to build it. Ta'ale li hamachshava kima'ase. Please, God, put my thought as if it's the action. Ve'zachor li ma she'initi atzmi be'avara. And remember that which I tortured is not the right word. I worked really hard for its sake, afflicted myself for its sake. Ki gazalti shnati meina, I even stole the sleep from my eyes. Mirov machshavati alav, and all the time I spent thinking about it. Benadarti venishbati, I made an oath and I swore shelo anuach ad shevnehu, that I wouldn't rest until I built it. V'lo ha'iti motza korat ruach bebeiti u'mishkanti, mishkani. And I wouldn't find a beam of the, let me just see, right, until he found the roof of my house and my dwelling place, achar shelo haya beit Hashem nivna, so that the house of Hashem would be built. Okay, so that's the Radak putting this parak of Tehillim in context for us, that this is what David's asking, that Hashem remember him in reference to the Beis HaMikdash, that even though he didn't get to build it, he put in so much effort to have so that it could be built. And the Malvim has a slightly different take. Shir HaMalot, Hashir HaLazeh Nityached Al Eit Shehichnisu Et Ha'aron LeBeit Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Malvim says that this was actually sung at the time that they tried to bring the Aron into the Holy of Holies, v'nechalek legimal chalakim, and it's divided into three parts. In the first part, be'et shahalchu v'nasu et Aron b'derech, at the time that they were walking and carrying the Ark on the way, yomer hamishorer zachor Hashem leDavid et kol anvato shehu masar nafsho al zeh k'mo shekatuv Shmuel bat Zayin. So the singer, so the Leviim who were carrying the Ark, they were singing as they were carrying this ark to be placed into the Holy of Holies. They were singing and calling out to Hashem to remember David and all of his work that he literally gave of his soul in order that this would happen. So either David said it at the time before he, in all of his effort to have the Beis HaMikdash built, or even more beautiful, I think, is that at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was completed and they were bringing the Ark into the Holy of Holies, the singers, the Leviim, sang this to remember David and all the effort he placed in it. Okay, and then another parak of Tehillim. This is very famous for every morning before. It's the pre-Psukei Dezimra parak of Tehillim that we say, and we also say it on Chanukah. So Mizmor Shir Chanukah Tabayit LeDavid. So this is the song of the dedication of the house to David. So David wasn't there. So what does it mean? We're dedicating the house to David. So here's the Radak again. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Tabayit LeDavid. Chibru David. So David wrote this. Sheomruhu b'Chanukat Beit HaMikdash. That it would be said in the future after he had died at the dedication of the temple. Ve'afal pi she'in b'zeh ha-mizmor zecher ha-bayit. Hizkir bo slichat pesha'av. So even though this chapter of Tehillim, and you can read it yourself, it doesn't actually mention anything about the Beis HaMikdash except for this opening line, it does mention the forgiveness of his sins. Sheyu choshvim oivav shelo titkayem lo hamelucha lezaro acharav leonish oto avon. Because all of his enemies thought that his kingdom would not be established, nor his seed, his children afterwards, for, as a punishment for that same sin, meaning Bat Sheva. And even though it was said to him by way of the prophet that his son who would rule after him would build the house, nobody believed that this son who was born of that very same woman that he would build the house, the Beis HaMikdash, to God, and that it would be a place of forgiveness and atonement. Ukeshemarad Adoniyahu b'sof yomav, and when Adoniyahu rebelled at the end of his David's days, v'ratzalim loch me'atzmo, and he wanted to make himself king, below reshut, without any authority, hayus verim shelo yiyah shlom ha'melech, they thought that the reason he was able to get away with this for the amount of time he did was that they thought that Shlomo could not become king. V'kevan shehum lach v'ra'u ki hitzliach ha'davar, but when he was made king, and they saw that it was succeeding. Ki hakoshrim Adoniyahu lo amdu b'mardam, because the people who conspirized with Adoniyahu, they didn't stand in their rebellion. Ubarchu ish le'ohalav, and if you remember, they all escaped to their tents when Shlomo was made king. Hekiru ki kol Yisrael ki mehashem hi machut Shlomo. Then all of Israel recognized that Shlomo's kingship was from God. V'kevan sheratza and when they saw that this is what God wanted, that the son from that woman, Bat Sheva, would become the king, Al Kol Yisrael and all of Israel, Yadu Be'amet Ki Nimcha LeDavid. Then they knew truly that David was forgiven, Oto Avon, that same sin, Mechila Gemura Ushleima, a complete and total forgiveness. Beher El Shlomo Tzurat HaBayit Le'enei Kol Yisrael, and Shlomo showed everyone the form of the house to all of Israel. V'hit Nadev Hu LeBinyan HaBayit V'hit Nadvu Bo B'nei Yisrael Lefanav. Everyone volunteered for the building of the Bayit. L'fichach Chiber Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit Al Zeh HaDerech She'izkir Bo Slichat Chata'av Shehi Refuat Nafsho. So therefore he composed this parak of the dedication of the temple, that everyone would remember that he was forgiven for his sins and that this was a healing of his soul. And then everyone would know that he was forgiven. Okay, and the Al Shichan, the same thing says, Hine Amro Mizmor Bashir Yireh Kefel Ha'inyan. So Mizmor is a type of song, and Shir is a type of song. So why is it doubled? Ve'od shelochan chu David, and David also had not dedicated it. V'yitachin yomar b'mamar amzal b'shmot rava. So he's quoting from a midrash. Shelo nichnas aron el hakodesh ad ba aron David ve'amar Shlomo ba'avur David avdecha al tashev p'nei mashichacha. So it wasn't, the gates wouldn't open until they said this line, for the sake of David your servant, don't turn away the face of your anointed one. Nimtze ikar chinuch habayit haya al yidei David. And therefore we find that the main aspect of the dedication of the temple was by way of David. Ubeze yomar beruach Hashem diber bo. And that's why we said it was through the Spirit of God that this was said to him. Mizmor vishir yoto. That's why we have both words for the song. Echad al mitziut chanukat habayit. One is on the existence of the dedication of the temple. Shenit liot David, liot bavur David ve'al yado. And second, it's for David, that it's for his sake and by way of him. Al kein beruach hakodesh mishorer al hadavar me'ata. And therefore, through the Holy Spirit, divine inspiration, the singer will sing on this. Okay. Oh, Yomra. Okay, let's skip the rest. So now we have this beautiful midrash, which is what we we're going to almost end on. Yeah. So in order to understand this midrash, we have to understand some psukim. So this is from Devarim. So it's talking about korbanot. So we can just read in English, however, in every desire of your soul, you may slaughter and eat meat in all your cities according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he gave you. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the deer and as of the gazelle. So this is as opposed to offerings in the temple of which people could partake, where they would have to be tahor, they'd have to be ritually pure. This is the ability to eat meat that was slaughtered in a kosher way, even if it's not going to be a korban at the temple, and then anyone can partake of it. So it's just like the tzvi and the ayil, which are kosher animals, but not kosher for offerings in the temple. So that's why they're making that comparison. And then it says, you shall spill it on the ground like water. Al ha'aretz tishpechenu kamayim. So note, tishpechenu, spill it out, is the same word that David quotes Hashem using as spilling blood and why he couldn't build the temple. Okay? And then the other pasuk we're going to need to know is v'shachat et ben ha-bakar lifnai, and you should slaughter the cattle. I didn't put that. That's all you need to know. And then from Echa, so he has bent his bow like an enemy, standing with his right hand as an adversary, and he has slain all that were pleasant to the eye in the tent of the daughter of Zion. He has poured out his fury, which is like fire. So you see a lot of pouring here. Shafach ka'esh chamato. Okay, so now let's read the Midrash. Okay, so Yalkut Shimoni. Hata tivneli bait. And now it says in one place, you will build a house. V'kativ lo tivne bait lishmi. And it also says, you're not going to build a house in my name. Ki damim rabim shafachta. That because you spilled a lot of blood. Kevan sheshama David kach nityara. When David heard this from Hashem, that he can't build it because he spilled so much blood, nityara, he became afraid. Amar, he said, Hare nifsalti milivnot beit hamikdash. He said, I've become pasul. I've become unfit from building the Beit HaMikdash. He thought it was some sort of flaw in himself. Amar v'Yehuda barabi Eli, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the rabbis say, no, God said to him, David al tira. David, don't be afraid. Chayecha, ki hem lefanai ketzvi uke'ayel. By your life, those that you killed are before me as if they were deer and ram. Lechach ne'amar, and that's why it says, shafachta arza, ve'ein arza eletzvi ve'ayel. So that same expression of pouring out to the ground is also used with regard to a tzvi and an ayel, as we saw, al ha'aretz tishpachanu kamayim. Pour out them out on the ground like blood, like water. Their blood like water. Meaning, okay, Devar Cher, another explanation. Chayecha, hem lefanai kekarbanot. Those people that you killed, God says, they are before me as if they were offerings. Dichtiv ki damim rabim shafachta lefanai. As it says, you spilled much blood before me. Ve'ein lefanai ela korban. But this word before me always refers to offerings. Shenamar v'shachat et ben habakar lifnei Hashem. So we saw that same terminology used in our pasuk, where you slaughtered the cattle before Hashem. So David killed his enemies before Hashem, and the cattle are killed before Hashem. So he's absolving David of any guilt he might have for the people that he killed in warfare. Amarlo v'im kein lama eini bonato. And David said, but if that's the case, if you don't see it as something bad, then why can't I build it? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'im ata bone oto hu kayam le'eno charav. Hashem said to him, David, if you were to build the Beis HaMikdash, it would be eternal and it wouldn't be destroyed. Amar lo v'hare yafeh amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, they said, the rabbi said, that Hashem spoke well. Galui v'tzapui lifanai shehem atidim lichto, because God, no, God knows, God's saying, I know that in the future they are going to sin. Ve'ani mafik hamatim bo, umachrivo, ve'hem nitzulim. And I am going to be angry at them, and I'm going to destroy it, the Beis HaMikdash, but they will be saved. Shekin kativ, and it quoted the pasuk from Echa, ve'ohel batzion shafach ke'esh chamato, so that was in the tent of the daughter of Zion, he's poured out his fury, which is like fire. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to David, Chayecha ho'il v'chashavta livnoto. Sorry, so let me explain that. So what it's saying is that, David, if you had built the Beis HaMikdash, you are on such a holy level that if you had built it, the Beis HaMikdash would not be able to be destroyed. And what would have been destroyed if the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't be destroyed? The Jewish people. So by not allowing David to build it and allowing Shlomo, his son, who we've seen was on a slightly lower level than David, that way, rather than destroying the Jewish people, the temple could be destroyed. God could take out his wrath on the bricks and mortar of the temple, and the Jewish people could be saved. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu chayecha ho'il v'chashavta livnoto, but God assures him, by your life, since you thought to build it, af al pi shel Shlomo bincha bonehu, even though Shlomo, your son, is building it, lishmecha ani kotvo, I will write about it in your name. Mizmor shir chanukat habayit leDavid, the song of the dedication of the house of David. Okay, is that clear? And then we're going to end on that same light. I wanted to manipulate it to be able to end with the Chashuke Chamed, my favorite. I know a lot of you guys really liked it. This is Rav Zilberstein, who wrote questions and answers based on the Parsha, based on the Dapim and the Gemara, the Sugyot. So he says, he's answering a question. The whole question wasn't relevant. This is just towards the end. Ve'od bier ha'imre emet. So this is a Hasidish text of the Imre Emes. He explains, Shele David HaMelech lo haya tzorach b'minyan habayit. So there wasn't a need for David in the building of the house. Kevan de'ikar habayit hu lehakriv korbanot. Because the main point of the temple is for bringing sacrifices. So David didn't have a need for that. V'harei mevoar b'midrash, d'kol ha'shofech daman shel rasha'im, ki'ilu hikriv korban. It's brought in the Midrash that anyone who pours the blood of wicked people, it's as if they brought a korban. And we saw that in the Midrash, that God said, all the people you killed were like korbanot to me. V'ita b'makot, and it says in the Gemara, she'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leDavid, ki tov yom b'chatrecha mi'alef. So, Hashem said to David that a day in your court is better than 1,000 sacrifices. Tov li yom echad she'ata osek b'Torah, one day that you, David, are busy in Torah, before me, lefanai mi alef olot she'atid Shlomo benach lehakriv lefanai, is greater to me more than 1,000 sacrifices, which Shlomo did at the dedication of the temple, that he would bring before me. Al gabei hamizbeach, on top of the altar. Harei shalot nitzrach David lekorbanot. David didn't need offerings. V'chein ita b'yalkut Shmuel, and that's what it says in the Midrash that we just read before this. Lo tivna bayit lishmi, damim lerov shafachta. You're not going to build the house in my name because of all the blood you spilled. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, David, al tira, don't be afraid. Chayecha hem lefanai kekorbanot. They are before me like offerings. So as we saw in the Midrash, the blood that you spilled before me is the same to me as korbanot. You had no need for korbanot, therefore you had no need to build the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo and the Jewish people will have a need. He needs to build it. But the thought and effort you put into it means that we have Mizmor Shir Chanukat Habayit LeDavid, that the house is in his name. And may we all merit to see the third Beis HaMikdash, Bimhera Bi'Amenu, built, and as we say in Sukkot, Lehakim Sukkat David HaNofalet, the uplifting of the Sukkah of David that fell, that you can go back to the archives and see a shir on that. But this, I really wanted to end on this uplifting note of the uniqueness and specialness of David, David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, David the King of Israel, he lives and is eternal, and it's through everything he instilled in us and everything we learned about him in terms of his faith, his ability to repent, his human imperfections that serve as an inspiration for us all with our own imperfections, and everything that can be accomplished despite being human and despite all of our limitations and imperfections, when we put in the effort, when we try, when we attempt to live the best life we can live in the merit and in the role modeling of David HaMelech, may we all merit to see his line restored and the third Beis HaMikdash built. Thank you.
Chazak.
Thank you so much, Stacy. I know I came late into the group, very late.
No.
But it was really an eye-opener for me, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. There's an expression, Hakol Holech Achar Hachitum. Everything goes after how it ends. So it's as if you were with us all the years, Rochelle.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Chaim, did you want to say something?
Yeah, well, I really appreciate this. I was thinking about how long I've been studying with you, Stacey.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought it was like a couple of years, but then I started going back and looking at, like, we started on a Wednesday night at Kohelet. I think it was in 2011.
Wow.
So, like, every Wednesday night at around 7 or 8 p.m., we would get together. And
yeah,
so
I remember that.
I think it's been 10 years.
Wow.
That we've been learning together.
Amazing.
And I've just really been impressed, not only with your extensive knowledge of Tanakh, but also with the infectious enthusiasm that you bring to each class, and the fact that you can explain things in a way that I can understand.